Ajá.
Ya. Bueno.
Ya, pues ya, bueno.
Ok, en inglés, ¿va? A ver.
Pues yo creo, ahora.
Sí, está bien.
Ok. Sí, entonces, ¿sí has escuchado esta madre de Hacker Public Radio?
¿O no? Nunca.
Ok, so let me start out by describing you what this is all about. So,
okay.
So there's this like there's this podcast called Hacker Public Radio, and it's kind of weird. It kind of works like an aggregator.
Okay.
So people like produce. It works in two ways. So in like so mode A. So you can't choose between the modes. You get them both at the same time.
Okay.
But anyhow, so mode A is like syndication. So they kind of subscribe to certain podcasts, and then like you get them through their feed. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay. Yeah. It's something like Audio. Have you seen Audio?
No, I haven't used it. Didn't Twitter come from Audio or something like that?
No, I don't think so. It's something like you describe a web page where you add your podcast, and through that page you can subscribe through different feeds, something like that. But okay, I understand.
Okay, so there's that. So there's that part, and the other part is that like. So people produce special, well, not special, but just like shows that are only for Hacker Public Radio. So
you know what? Twitter came from Audio. I just remember.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
I was okay. Opening a Wikipedia, and you know, like doing a Wikipedia. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I'm turning off my torrent application now, just in case, because you know I don't want that messing up the bandwidth.
Yeah. Okay.
So get a nice clear, crystal sound and everything else. So I've been listening. So people like these like the special show, like the syndicated show. Sometimes we get Python, a little bit of Python. Have you listened to that podcast before?
No, never.
No.
No,
it's pretty cool. Like I'm kind of interested in Python, sort of, you know, like once I get a really good hang of Lisp and Haskell and all these like supposedly uber really cool programming languages, then I'm gonna move forward into C and Python and Smalltalk and everything else. But okay. But it's cool to listen to the you know, just to the developments and how people, you know, all the different compilers and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting even if you don't know Python. Like it's really cool from just like a developer perspective, a system administrator, you know, from all these kinds of perspectives that you know, kind of orbit around the development of a language, you know.
Yeah, I know, because I have heard some podcasts that are very technically advanced, and I don't have the skills to do what they can do, but it's really interesting to hear how they do this stuff, how they recommendations and everything. I hear, for example, you know, Security Now podcast. Uh-huh. And I think it's technically it's really advanced. Of course, it's not meant only for experts, but I don't really use most of the technology discussed. But it's really interesting to hear opinions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right. So one of them is a little bit of Python is one of the syndicated shows. There's other syndicated shows which I don't remember right now, but like lately, like not the not syndicated, like the special shows that people make only for Hacker Public Radio.
Uh-huh.
They include people just talking about the history of computers or their own history with computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like before the PC, and even way before that, then like the microcomputers from the 60s and the you know, the mainframes and terminals and that kind of stuff. So anyway, so the guy who's like organizing this stuff, which I can't remember his name, you know, off the top of my head or anything like that, but he's saying like, well, if people don't produce special content for Hack Republic Radio, then it's gonna go off the air, or
really,
just, or just gonna right, it's just gonna cease as a cease
oh,
to exist
my
as,
God.
As a podcast. Right, okay. So that's like. That's the whole. Are we taking time here? Because I only want to make this like 20 minutes long or so.
We can always edit this stuff, but it's like 5 minutes already.
5 minutes already. All right.
Yeah.
So right. So let's see. So this is the proposal I have for you. Like we just make like every few weeks, like just one show to so this Hack Republic Radio thing keeps it doesn't dry up, and we can just talk about just general stuff that's right, like piquing
yeah,
our interest or okay. Whatever. You know.
Okay, I think it would be a great idea, and I think that we have first. Let me. We have to do first, you know, uh-huh. Like introduce ourselves. Why are we uh-huh. making this show?
I think we already have that covered since
really?
We already talked about that. That's the whole reason why I just said all that boring shit already.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I think we should say
what by...
more. What?
Oh, well, go ahead then.
Well, okay. I don't remember the first time I used a computer, but it was a really old one for my standards. You know, MS-DOS. And I fell in love with computers at a really early age. But I think I was involved in the hacker community when I was a teenager, from 15 to, I don't know, 20, maybe 19. And I made an e-sign, hacking e-sign in Spanish, and I was really, really getting into programming and all the hacker stuff, really. But I don't know what happened that I changed directions and ended up, right now I'm doing research about hackers, and I live in the Mexico-US border. I think that's about it.
Well, so what state are you in? I mean, let's, like, geographically, so people know. You can look it up on Google Maps, you know, if you're a little
yeah,
lost.
Yeah, I'm in Baja. You know, it's in the border with California and Mexicali, border town, border city, that it's in Imperial County. With the border is it with Imperial County, a very unknown city worldwide, but it is like 2.5 hours from Tijuana. So you know. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Well, so how can I? So a little bit about me then. Are we going to use tags? I mean, handles? Or are we going to use our real names?
We can use handles. I mean, yeah, use a handle. That will be cooler.
Okay. I guess. I'm just going to make one up on the spot then, but I've always wanted to, well, on IRC, I'm verbose on Freenode. Hold on, I'm not verbose, I'm Siquilpaque.
What?
Which is, it's the Mayan sort of a, like a finger, not a finger food, what do you call it, when like a dip? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so that's me. So anyway, so I was born in Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
Although I tell everybody, I tell everybody that I'm from Ensenada, because if people know I'm from Tijuana, then they'll look at me with like really suspicious eyes, like, oh, you're from there.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I have to tell people that I live one block away from the border, and still they don't trust. They feel like, I mean, you know,
there's
Americans
trust issues.
Sometimes are afraid of Mexico, right? And even
yeah.
if you are one block away from the border, you're uh-huh. still in the most dangerous place in the world, right?
Yeah. Okay. like, yeah. Well, I mean, like Iraq and Afghanistan are probably
Yeah,
more dangerous, but you know,
exactly.
those are like really far away, so they don't kind of count too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was born in Tijuana, and I'm 31 years old. And I remember going to Pick and Save for those people who still who can remember what those it's like. It's like before Walmart and all these other stores that are like offer really cheap crap.
That's
There
true.
were these stores that were called Pick and Save. They're
Huh?
called Big Lots right now,
Yeah,
right?
right now they are Big Lots.
Okay, so it's got a Big Lots from the 80s, and there was these really interesting books about BASIC.
Oh,
And
really?
the weirder, yeah. And
I never saw that in a we can save.
Oh, well, check this out. Not only were they in a Pick and Save, but they were in Spanish. Okay.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So imagine that. So I'm like, okay. So there's these Spanish books on BASIC,
My
and they were like,
life would have been totally different if I saw a basic book in Spanish in a Pick and Save. Really, would have changed my life.
well, it definitely changed mine. So I picked it up. So I think so they were really cheap. So I bought like three, and they were like for kids. They were like with for kids and like really like illustrated, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so I was, you know, so back then, you know, before then, I was like, oh, you know, these computers, they're like really magnificent machines. They're like totally mysterious and opaque, and you can't. You know, I'll never find. I mean, I'll be like really old until like I really find out how they kind of work on the inside, which is true, because I still don't really understand completely
Yeah,
how they
okay.
totally work, and I guess nobody really does. At least
Well,
not completely.
okay.
Well, I mean, I have a ways to go still. So anyway, so this the, these books, they kind of really got me curious. Like, oh, BASIC. Oh, okay. So then, a few years later, my dad got a, you know, found out about the really cool and library system that you guys in the U.S. have, and he found out that you could get a library card even if you weren't a resident. You could just get like a special sort of, I mean, you had to pay a little bit more, but you could get a library card and you could take out books. So
Wow.
so I just went and my dad's a. He's my dad's like a dentist, and he's also like a musician and a radio DJ and all these kinds of other music related things. So anyway, he one of his patients, one of his dental patients, like he kind of like, oh, well, I don't have all this money to pay you, but I'll give you a computer. And my dad was like, oh, sweet, cool, all right, sure. So he one night he's like he knocked on my door. I was already asleep, and he said, oh, look what I bought you. Brought you in, and it was like C64, which I knew back then.
Really?
Even it was like 1991 or so. So
Okay.
I had already taken IBM PC classes like DOS and all that kind of. This is night. I took them in 1989 or 1990. So there was no Windows still. It was all MS-DOS. And I remember the big thing that happened over there was people like when the teacher left. This was in the Casa de la Cultura
Okay.
in Tijuana.
Tijuana,
So it's like
okay.
a government-run sort of cultural thing for kids. And one of their programs, I mean, one of their like classes they had was computer. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll take that. I took tap dancing, singing. I'm a geek, okay? So yeah, so tap dancing appealed to me until the first class, and I was like, no way am I doing that. You know, I'm gonna be. No way, that's like totally yeah. It looks
I
cool
know
like
what
when other
you
people do it. Yeah.
mean.
So I'm like, no way. So anyway, but the I mean, I got a really good kick out of the computing classes, and I mean they were kind of useful.
I'm guessing your classmates got a good kick out of you in tap dance.
Yeah, well they didn't really find out. I think I canceled that class like after a week or something. Like, I'm not, yeah,
But I mean
anyway.
your classmates when they saw you. Well, okay, forget it. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, they, I mean, they would have if I mean, imagine me tap dancing into the class, right? Like, oh, good. Good afternoon, tappity tappity tap. I could tap with my feet while I typed on the keyboard, right? I could, yeah. Anyway, so I'm making this too long. So anyway, so I learned all the commands, del and, you know, dir and all those commands. And then so when my dad brought me the C64, I already knew that it was obsolete, but I didn't care because uh-huh. I turned it on, I connected everything, I saw the manual, and it used BASIC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like right from the start, like from the, like you could use BASIC on the like on the on its command line, quote unquote. Okay. So you can program it directly just by starting it up. So that was really appealing. And then like I don't know, like that was 1991. So right now we're 20 years later. I got two Ubuntu desktops, three actually, a FreeBSD server. Which for now is only a crappy file server, and I'm interested in OpenBSD and just in programming languages and linguistics, which is what I'm going to study. I'm 31 and I haven't had a, what do you call that in English when you have a licenciatura?
Bachelor's?
What do you call that?
Like bachelor's?
A bachelor's degree, right? So I'm 31 and I don't even have a bachelor's degree, but I'm working on it. And those are pretty much my interests, linguistics and computing.
Well,
I dabbled there with all kinds of things. So yeah.
Okay, you brought to me a lot of memories, but maybe we can save that for later. But I can tell you that in Calexico, the border town I'm next to, there's you know, the swap meet or flea market. I don't know the exact term. Tianguis.
Yeah, from you mean on the U.S. side of the border, right?
Yeah, I mean, and there it's called Santo Tomas, and you know, there's a lot of stuff to buy, clothes, you know, furniture, you know, everything you can buy there and secondhand. And mm-hmm. from time to time, there were boxes with computer stuff, you know, electronics. And I always looked there to see what I could find. You know, they gave you everything practically for free because they didn't know what it was. And frankly, it was really old. It was obsolete. It was, you know, old hardware, useless mostly. But there were some manuals there. So I bought everything I could. So when I arrived home, I looked at every piece of hardware, and I said, well, what is this? And I tried to figure out what it was for, because there wasn't internet really, and so I couldn't look it up. But I learned a lot. Even there were diskettes or CDs, and I bought them, and I looked at them. There was a lot of interesting information in those discs, and information that shouldn't be there. I mean, they should have erased the information before they threw it out, but they didn't.
Right.
And I found out a lot of stuff, and I still go there, but there's not the same, because people now know the value of computers, so they're more... they know what it's useless and what's useful. So they I don't know, it's not the same.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
yeah.
Do you have any news?
No, actually it's well, the only, I don't know, like one thing that I have to kind of you know, get off my chest or just mention or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that like I've been it's kind of strange because I just got to work. I'm just starting it's been a month since I've been working at this government program, like educational program for indigenous kids. So I'm in like I'm out in the like in the really rural parts of Mexico, and I don't have a 3G modem or anything. like that. I mean, I don't have any way of connecting. Like, so Monday to Friday, I'm like totally without internet,
Really?
and it's, yeah, and it's kind of really, it's. I mean, I'm gonna get, you know, I'm gonna solve that eventually, but you know, these past weeks, it's been kind of a torture. Also, like, it's really hot, it's really dusty. And you know, there's kids. I mean, I don't have a lot of privacy, so kids kind of come up to me. Or I mean, I'm just in this like kind of like a shack working. And then the kids. I mean, there's no door. There's like two doors, but they don't have like there's two passageways. They don't have. I can't close the doors. There's no. There's doors without doors. I don't know. The English language is kind of weird. But I mean, they don't close. They don't have the stop thing. Whatever. So they just come in and they can like. Interrupt me. So it's kind of the only time I can work is like late at night when the wind blows from the jungle to the street or whatever. So there's no dust in the wind and it's like cool enough so that the machine doesn't like melt while I'm using it. And all the kids are asleep, so I can kind of like, you know, just do stuff. But I you know, by then I'm like really tired. I can't concentrate as well.
You're
So yeah, so it's
describing. I mean, you're talking like something from another century. I mean, wow.
Yeah, so it's so I'm kind of a little bit out of touch, and I kind of want to. It's kind of like a challenge to find the adequate discipline and sort of like kind of hack in a certain way, like hack time or hack space and time. You know, kind of find the correct configuration of how to like be able to still work, because you know, I mean, I do work. I mean, I teach these kids and all these, you know. Preschool and primary school, but I mean, do my personal projects, computer related personal projects, while I'm in this small town. It's three families, so it's more like a hamlet than a small town. So yeah, so that's my ex big excuse for not being, you know, in touch with what's going on. So
Well,
be my guest, like.
it's already 20 minutes, but I
Fuck it,
wanted.
let's just do it. Do 10 more minutes then.
Okay, but I have to go, really.
Okay,
So
all right.
I only wanted to say this.
What?
Right now, I was work last week. I was working on what is defining what is hacker practice. What makes hacking unique? Because hackers have access to the same technology that every user has access to. There has to be something different that makes hacking unique. It's not only using, you know, technology. It's not. So I finally came to a satisfactory definition of what hacking is, and I did that through several, you know, authors that have approached the subject, but none of them has given a real definition of what hacking is. Everybody talks about hacking, but nobody knows what it is. Of course, if you ask a hacker and you ask him what is hacking, he's gonna answer you without much trouble. I mean, he's gonna say hacking is, you know, creativity or maybe making technology do something unexpected or something. But
Right, 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 right.
if I'm on the academic field, I have to really make a good definition so people that are not hackers know what hacking is, even if they have never seen hacking before. And I think that hacking has to do with technology, but it's mostly about your attitude towards technology. I mean, a hacker does not only uses technology, he questions technology. I mean, if Steve Jobs says that you can't use, you know, apps for the iPhone that Apple computers has not approved, most users, they don't make a fuss about it. they just accept it, you know? Well, that's the way it is. That's the rules. That's it. But a hacker knows that that's only a restriction for business purposes. Not really because the iPhones can't handle it, but mostly because Apple Computers doesn't want you to use your iPhone freely. So that's one of the things that hacker do. And that's one important component of hacking. The other component I believe is that it's made for fun. You know, it's mostly made because of the challenge, and you're kind of enjoying solving a problem. It's not because your boss told you to, or it's not because it's a school assignment. It's more for your own motivation and exploration. There are several things I have identified. Maybe you believe that I'm not making a big breakthrough because this sounds obvious for something inside of the hacker community, but it's not obvious for authors about the subject. You know, a lot of people that write about hackers, they write about criminal aspects, or maybe about fraud, or maybe about other stuff that it's there. I can say it's not, but it's not central to hacking. It's more like the view of somebody from the outside
Right,
without.
and viewing the consequence, some sort of consequence instead of the practice itself somehow.
Exactly. And I think that also a lot of emphasis has been put on hackers themselves. And I think that hackers, that's not, for me at least, that's not the important stuff because hacker practice is what makes a hacker. And there are a
Yeah,
lot of people.
you are what you do and not who you think you are somehow, right?
Exactly,
That would
exactly. And also, if maybe you do hacker practices, maybe you hack, but maybe you're not a hacker. I mean, there are a lot of people that do stuff that could be considered hacking, but they are not hackers, and they don't think
Yeah,
themselves
they
as
don't
hackers.
identify themselves as such, either to themselves or
Exactly.
to anybody else.
And I don't think that's important
No.
to feel, ah, I'm a hacker, you're not a hacker, I'm a hacker. You know, that's not important. I mean, the important stuff is what you do. And I think that not many authors have, at least in the academic field, have approached the subject this way. So I'm
Hey,
happy.
what was your handle?
My handle, Bad
Yeah,
Bit.
well, at least for the show,
Bad Bit.
Bad Bit. All right,
I
then. Well,
never
why don't?
said
Or
it,
what?
right? Okay, Bad Bit. That's my handle. And I have to go.
No, wait. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. We are at least. I think at least you should sort of explain, because I mean, this is really real interesting stuff. But I already know what kind of work you're doing, but I think all the listeners probably
Okay.
aren't up to
Okay,
that.
yeah.
So why don't you describe this academic project you're doing, and what field? Is it anthropology or something
No,
like
no, no.
that,
It's
sociology or what?
close to anthropology. It's a field, a relatively new field called cultural studies. Cultural studies began in the 1950s. So for social sciences, it's quite new. And cultural studies, I don't know where to begin, but the
Well,
approach,
they can Wikipedia that, but I mean,
yeah, but okay,
so
that's true.
how long have you been working on this hacker cultural studies, and what focus does it have specifically? What
Well,
focus doing specifically?
This is a project for my master's. My master's in cultural studies. I began in last summer, and I want to know if or why hacker practice or how hacker practice is used for political means. That sounds really crazy for a hacker, but because most of them don't relate to politics or they are politicized, but they don't see hacking as something political. But I think sometimes it is, not always, because let me put you an example. I mean, okay. This guy, Phil Zimmerman, PGP.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him? Do you no. have you used PGP? You know, pretty good privacy, decryption system.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I haven't used it for a while.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not really interested in it too much.
Okay.
Go on.
Phil Zimmerman, he saw that there was going to be a legislation prohibiting citizens to use encryption. So he didn't think that was fair. So he said, okay, I'm going to develop a good software that, you know, normal people could use to protect their information. And he released it before, you know, that legislation was
took
approved.
Place. Yeah.
Yes. To make it difficult for it to be approved because he didn't think it was fair. And he said that every citizen should have the right to protect his own information from everybody. I mean, not even the government has the right to look at your private information. So it was a long process in the legal process. Finally, PGP prevailed and still here. It still works. And, you know, I think that's a big achievement. And, you know, he created that model of encryption or that system, you know, that hacking for a political means, you know, political ends. So that's, you know, only one of many examples. So that's why I'm doing this research. I'm focusing on South California, North Baja California. So I'm trying to see differences and similarities between Mexico and the United States. So if you you think you can help, you're welcome.
They can write to you or what?
Yeah, of course. My email, I'm always have a lot of trouble with my email spelling it in Spanish. So can you put a link in the show notes or something?
Let's do that. So how what are we going to call this show then? We can do it like every 2 weeks because I'm going to Guatemala for about a week or so. So we can probably record when I get back.
Yeah, but I wish I could.
How are we going to call? I was thinking about something like Spix on Tech or something like that. Something cheeky and signed.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not very good at
naming stuff. Well, your handle is pretty cool, so I guess.
Oh, thank you. But I chose it when I was 14.
Well, it's still cool.
It stuck. And I don't know, hacker something. Silicon
hacker
border.
Something. Silicon border.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Cool. So you recorded this, so you'll send it back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
So
right on. You gotta go, right?
Yeah, I have to. Kinda
okay.
I have to.
Yeah.
By the way, I haven't told you this. I found a hackerspace in Ensenada.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, haven't I told you this?
No, you haven't. Well, we haven't talked for a while. We've been busy.
I'm going tomorrow. And
oh, really?
Yes, and there's a you know, kind of a workshop called Electronics for Artists. So I'm going to go the first two classes. So Let's see what it is. And I was really excited because I never believed their hackerspace could exist here. So
yeah, and so now that's a pretty cool city.
Yeah, that's true. The it has the biggest number of scientists in Mexico. You know,
there's a research institute there, right?
Highest scientist ratio in Mexico.
Wow.
What did you say?
Wasn't there like a research? There's a research institute there, right, for nuclear physics or oceanography?
Yeah,
and
there are several,
stuff.
Several. You know, oceanology.
Oh, really?
You know, physics, several stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of people, a lot of scientists there.
Yeah, I should buy a house there.
Yeah.
I don't know with what money, but you know.
What?
I don't know with what money, but you know.
Yeah. Okay,
right,
so that I like this. So I think that next episode we should plan a little.
Yeah, we should plan. Yeah. Okay.
I'm
right on.
For who is going to listen to this, but okay.
Probably nobody, but all right.
Well, okay.
All right.
True.
Hey, take care, man.
Same to you.
All right.
Okay, see you.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.